Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
May there be a wake-up call this Mother's Day all over America as we in this church stand for life. Say it with me. We stand for life. 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 And we do not apologize for it because life is a sacred gift of Almighty God.
The truth is, you must fear God more than you fear the government. This is The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Unseen Heroines, and tells you the story of five unknown women in Egypt who risked their own lives to save baby Moses from death. It's a moving story you'll want to hear. The Winning Walk begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to equip you to win the culture war that's raging around you by sending you Dr. Young's 7-message CD series, Culture Clash. This powerful series prepares you to stand strong in God's Word in the face of increasing opposition on so many fronts in today's mixed-up culture. We'll send you a copy of Culture Clash as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Unseen Heroines, Part 2.
And that's exactly what has happened today to a whole fabulously gifted group of people who are part of our America. It's heartbreaking to me. You say, well, I don't like to hear about that. We can't do anything about anything till we know what the problem is. And what you have here, who is funding all of this? I looked it up. Carnegie? Ford? Oh, Gates? Oh, who is forwarding this? Oh, we've got all of those. Right there in most of the black congressional caucus, the President of the United States, Jesse Jackson, they're all paid in this through Planned Parenthood. Where is Planned Parenthood located in America? Right up next to the minority areas. It is the hidden racism since 1973 in America, and it is a tragedy and a sin against God, and it's on the conscience of our nation. I didn't want to say this. It's very hurtful for me because I'm a patriot. I love this land. But in the light of where we are, I don't believe Germany would have voted, I don't believe it, to exterminate those Jews. I don't believe they would have voted to do it. I don't think Russia even would have voted for the mass murder and extermination of so many in Russia. I even don't think China in Mao's days would have approved the massive genocide that he participated. I don't think that. But in America, we have done it legally under our law, and we have done it with something the other areas of the world did not have, basically, and that's the Bible and the sacred of life that we're called as members of the family of God as Christians. We knew more. And the great tragedy is that we think we can vote and decide about life. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal under God by those inalienable rights. What are the inalienable rights? Or some say unalienable rights. It's a word that transitions there. It's the basic rights of humanity given by God. And the first one is life. And without life, you do not have anything else. I have sung from the top of my voice for a lot of years. Hard for me to say this. Listen to it carefully, take it home, think about it. I'm having a hard time singing God Bless America. Oh, why should God bless America? He has blessed us, and we used our blessing to exploit those who were most down and most needed a leg up and help and love. And that's an indictment upon you and me. You can dodge it. You can rationalize it. You could say he's out of his mind. But that is where we are in this racism from a different area. To suppress a gifted group of people among us. And I can only say, God forgive us and God help us. And I trust that Roe v. Wade will be the law of the land, but it will go down to the individual states, and then every state will vote up or down different degrees of abortion. Some states will not allow abortion. Some states will, about 50-50 right now. But the great tragedy is, in America, we're voting on life, ladies and gentlemen. We're voting on life. Human beings voting on life. That's the great indictment upon our generation. You talk about ancient Egypt. You talk about ancient Egypt. Do you know what saved the Hebrews from the kind of slaughter? Infanticide? Infanticide is death of a child outside the womb. Abortion is death of the child inside the room. Pharaoh used infanticide. The child is born, throw him in the Nile. We have used abortion before the child is born, still a child. We've taken a life. May there be a wake-up call this Mother's Day all over America as we in this church stand for life. Say it with me. We stand for life, life, life. And we do not apologize for it because life is a sacred gift of Almighty God. What happened in Egypt? Five heroines changed history. Five women whose name, I dare say, most of us, even though are church people, would know only one of the names. Five names. Five names. You ever heard of somebody named Shiphrah? Ever heard of somebody named Purah? Ever heard anybody named Jochebed? Ever heard anybody named Miriam? Ever heard anybody named Bithra? five women there in Egypt when they were faced with infanticide, with slavery, with prejudice, with bigotry, because the Israelites were growing, they needed to be suppressed. Let's look at those five women rapidly. You're going to see five tremendous women. We don't even know their names. Look back. It said, Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Purah. And he said, when you do the duties of the midwife for a Hebrew woman and see them on their birth stools, if it's a son, you shall kill him. It says, but the midwives feared God. What did they do? They had faith in God. He said they feared God more than they feared the government. How important that is today. But the midwives feared God, verse 17, and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but save the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? Now they had faith, and that gave them courage, right? Faith gives us courage, faith in a living God. And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives can come to them. Partly true. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. You see the pattern here of this first woman we're honoring? She had faith in God. Because of that faith, she had courage to stand up against Pharaoh and his edict. And then she had what? Creative thinking. Creative thinking. She told Pharaoh, look, these babies were born before. Some was true, some was not true. You see how God used these two unnamed women who were midwives. And look at the next one we come to. It says, and a man was born in the house of Levi. And when it took his wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and had a son. Here's two believers, tribe of Levi, the pious religious tribe. She was pregnant. They were married, nuclear family. And can you imagine during that pregnancy when the edict of Pharaoh was, if a male child is born, throw him in the river? Can you imagine what they prayed for? Oh, Lord, give us a female. Did you see that? Not a male. Oh, Lord, give us a female. But a male child was born. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, the word beautiful there means sort of a special gift. And she hid him 3 months while she nursed him. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes, and put the child in it and laid it the reeds by the river banks. A woman of faith had courage, planned for this baby, and she did exactly what Pharaoh said, throw the child in the river. And she did. She had faith, she had courage, and she had creative thinking, this mother did, this Jochebed. And then we have another fabulous, fabulous woman, that's Miriam. Miriam was, in all probability, the older child already born. Aaron was another child of hers. And the sister, Miriam, from afar off to know what should be done, the sister followed that little ark into the Nile. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, and sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. Here's Miriam. Watch it now. 10 or 12 years old. She goes down there to watch after her 3-month-old brother that's been born, knowing that if they find out, he would be drowned in the river. And she watched, and Miriam had to discern from Bithna, Who was that? That was Pharaoh's daughter. That was the princess. She was made. How she would respond to this unwanted death sentence pronounced on this Hebrew child. She had to read the princess to see how she responded. And when she opened up and the princess responded positively, knowing it was a Hebrew child, that's when Miriam, boy, what faith she had in God. What courage she had, a 10 or 12 year old, and what wonderful creative thinking she involved. She went down there then, and as the princess must have held the baby, she said, "Do you want me to get a woman to nurse this child?" And Bithna, the princess, said, "Yes." And Miriam went back home and said, "Jochebed, Mom, come down. We've got an assignment. You're going to have to nurse the baby." And by the way, the princess said, "Read it carefully. I'm going to pay you for it." What a deal! How God works in this world. And so Jochebed went down, got the child, took it home for about probably 5 years till the child was weaned. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. In those 5 years, that mom built a principles of God in that little baby boy. And then what about Bithna? Hey, somehow the understanding of the sacredness of life from the Hebrews and their God, whom she'd seen all of their life, they worship, and how they were blessed because they were true worshipers. She had faith in God, and then she had courage to go and wait those 4 or 5 years until the child was weaned. And then the mother gave up Jochebed, adoption to the princess, knowing she could not bring up the child in Egypt. And so the courage of Jochebed to give the baby to the princess. And then the princess had the courage to, with some critical thinking, navigate between this despotic Pharaoh who pronounced a death sentence. And then Moses was taught the highest form of education, the highest form of military strategy. He got a background in Egyptian culture, which was second to none at this moment in history. And by the way, it was Bithna, the princess, who named Moses, and the name Moses mean to be brought out of, to be brought out of the river. And Moses later on lived up to his name, and he brought the children of Israel out of exile into life in the promised land. How God works in the world, ladies and gentlemen. These five women had courage, had faith in God, and that faith in God gave them courage, and that courage gave them creative, critical thinking. And all of a sudden, what is the result? You have Moses, who was the most important person on this earth between Adam and in the garden all the way to Jesus in Bethlehem. Moses was the number one person to all humanity. And see how God preserved life through these five individual women who had faith in God. They had courage, and they became creative thinkers. Motherhood, the feminine world, the giftedness that is here. You know, that takes me back to Romans. Have you been around Romans lately? Have you looked at Romans chapter number 8 lately? Have we looked at Romans 8? All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. Do you see it lived out in history all the way back in Egypt land? Motherhood. sacred calling, highest calling, I believe, on the planet. Reminding me of the African proverb which says, it takes a village. That's only part of it. The rest of the proverb says, it takes a village to raise a child. I would change that today and I would say, it takes a church to raise a child. We say here in the Second Family, we love kids, and we do. And we love kids because we know it takes a church to raise a child. This is the reason we have gifted teachers. This is the reason we have those who love children. This is the reason this is a safe place for them to go in camp and Bible study, because all that parents can do goes up to a point, and then the church comes in, and we become, for a single parent, or we become for parents that are not functioning properly, the rest of the story, to see that they become everything under the power of love and nurture and care and tears and counseling and with the parents and with the children. That's who we are. We at Second, we unapologetically, we love children. It takes a church to raise a child in the 21st century. The best people who serve in this church work with our kids, ladies and gentlemen. The best people work with our kids, your kids, my grandkids. Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Victor Hugo tells a story of a vicious battle that took place. It lasted almost 4 days. At the end of the battle, a captain and a sergeant was leading out of the battle a platoon of soldiers. They were in heavy woods. The captain looked over and saw some bushes moving, and he said, "Sergeant, see what's behind those bushes." The sergeant goes over there and goes into the woods and brings out a shivering mother holding two little children. For days they'd been there during the battle in hiding. The children were fearful and they were cold and they were all obviously starving. The captain said, "Sergeant, give them something to eat." The sergeant reached into his pack and pulled out a little loaf of bread and handed it to the mom. And the mom took the bread and divided two pieces and gave one part to one child and one part to the other child and stepped back. The sergeant watched that and looked at the captain and said, "Could it be that she is not hungry? Could it be that she is not hungry?" And then the captain in a husky voice said, "No, it's because she's a mother."
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you, and we love to encourage you as you fight in the battle for our culture by sending you Dr. Young's CD series, Culture Clash. The Bible gives you the foundation you need to wisely and lovingly engage a culture that's darkening right before our eyes. This 7-part series will equip you to shine a light for truth in these dark days as you confront the evils in our culture and extend God's love to those who are hurt and broken by sin. So call now to request your copy of Culture Clash as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Tune in next week as Dr. Young shares practical steps for how you can fight and win the culture war.